Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Punters Postmortem. A complete wrap of the weekend's racing and the chance to have your say. Let's get into it.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Punters Postmortem. Unfortunately, Mother Nature didn't play her role over the weekend as far as the ATC and Randwick was concerned, but what a performance we saw with the mighty mare in Winx. Now, 15 straight, surpassing the legendary Firelap, and now onwards and upwards even further to the $1 million George Ryder over 1,500 metres, and then the absolute peak again, the $4 million Queen Elizabeth Stakes over 2,000 metres. That's all on the top of winning the Chippy Norton on the weekend over the mile. The six-year-old mare appears to be getting better and better and better and conquered another question mark. And that question mark was, how do you get through a heavy nine? I mean, it was a heavy nine, but geez, it was as heavy as you get, surely. A very, very good morning to, well, he's the champion of the Punters Postmortem team in so many ways. Ronnie Duffersey, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, GK. It's obviously, we've said it all about Winx. Yep. What else can we say about her? She just keeps doing it, and it hasn't stopped yet. The weather, well, we are on weather watch this week.
Yes.
Because there's some sort of rain forecast every day leading in what looks to be a fantastic meeting on Saturday where we got two Group 1s, the Guineas and the Canterbury Stakes. So we got three Group 2s with the Challenge, the Riesling and the Todman. We got two Group 3s with the Winona Girl and the Aspiration, and a couple of listed races with the Randwick Stakes and the Fireball. So it's a full day of black-type racing at Randwick on Saturday. Let's hope we get some break in that weather.
Well, I'd love to try and give you some good news in that department, Ronnie, but there's another chance of rain today, a high chance of rain today. Day, another 4 to 15 mil expected on Tuesday, another 5 to 15 mil Wednesday, 15 to 40 mil on Thursday, 8 to 20 Friday, 8 to 20 Saturday. I mean, they can't buy a good day, can they?
Well, hopefully we can just get rid of that forecast for Saturday and we'll cope.
Yeah.
But the old rain on the day just ruins things and can throw up some funny results all around the day.
Absolutely. Taking everyone's feedback, all your queries for Ronnie on 13 53 53. Don't forget those text messages, 0419 767 272. Glenn Munsey, good morning, mate.
Yeah, morning, TK. Good morning, Ronnie. And, well, did she just add to the aura about herself?
Yes.
On Saturday, Winx, it was marvellous theatre, apart from anything else. It was like watching a movie with twists and turns. Is she going to run? Where's Chris Waller at the moment? He's out on the track. What are they doing to the track? They're filling in holes. Has he decided to run her? You know, it was magnificent to be there. The drama that surrounded the whole day, and the most ironic thing about the whole day was, had the Chipping Norton been run at any track in Sydney bar Randwick, it would have been on a good track.
Yeah, well, the rain was more coastal, wasn't it?
Well, TK, it never rained at my place at any stage during the day.
Yeah.
And I am 30 minutes from Randwick.
Yeah.
And I don't think it rained. For people that know Sydney, the Prince's Highway is on the other side of the airport.
Yep.
Right? It never rained at the other side of the Prince's Highway. So no rain at Canterbury, basically. No rain at Warwick Farm.
Uh-huh.
And no rain at Rose Hill.
Yeah, it was coastal, but it was heavy, and it was as heavy as you'll get. But you're right, she just answered another question mark if there were any Winks, and she was way too good. I thought we saw some unbelievably outstanding performances down at Caulfield over the weekend, and joining us is Dean Lester. G'day, Dino.
How are you, TK?
Absolute crackerjack meeting. You got some blue skies, and your weather was much, much kinder, mate.
Certainly was, and the action was certainly very hot on the track too. It was a really good day at the track.
David Hayes and his team with a Group 1 double. Glad to say, Dino, that David's going to join us in about 5 minutes' time, and we'll just quiz him regarding, I mean, he had six runners in that Blue Diamond. Obviously, he had the winner in Catchy, who appears to be very, very good. And a big tick to you, mate. I know you were very keen on Catchy as well.
Yeah, I think she's been the dominant two-year-old down here for all the way through, and it took a Sydney sider and Pariah to get really close to her. They beat the rest a couple of lengths, but she's been very good all the way through. Whether that'll continue on to the slipper, only time will tell.
Well, probably why not?
Oh, she will. She'll be there, and she's a good filly. And I'd just be interested when Miss Finland actually got beaten in the Diamond, they switched her to Sydney and put blinkers on and went from the winkers to the blinkers. I wonder if that's the one more trick they've got up the sleeve with Catchy.
Yeah, I get your opinion, mate, but everyone on the panel as well, because they're sort of saying, oh, they've been making these sorts of comparisons, and it could be forced upon them by the media as well about, oh, she's a, you know, reminds us of Miss Finland. Are they talking about stretching out over distance or just as a juvenile?
I think Craig Williams made that straight away. Right. Her win on Saturday reminded me very much of Alinghi's win in the Blue Diamond, where she was in trouble and then out of trouble and able to sprint home. And she's physically a lot more mature than most of the two-year-olds. Simple as that. When you see her in the yard, she could have strolled into the yard for the Oakley Plate, not the Blue Diamond.
Right.
And Dino, those blinkers that went on Miss Finland, they went on after her first start here that she had in the lead-up to the slipper. She drew Barrier 1 in the slipper and won by panels.
Yeah, she won't have that luxury, though, because of the time.
Yeah, she won't. She's going to go into the slipper, realistically, her first look at Rose Hill. And you know, rule of thumb says, black line, no.
Yeah, well, she was... I thought she was just super impressive. And probably the most impressive part of what we saw from Catchy on the weekend, Duff, was, well, the final 200, although the previous... bit before that was pretty good as well.
Definitely. You know, she never got a card into the race at all.
No, that's right.
I backed Pariah, and I was even though he was three deep with no cover on straightening, I said, well, she can't beat him. He still hasn't let it Pariah go, and I know he's got a kick, and she's not on anything's back, you know, bringing her into to ambush late. But the way she finds a way to win... you have to be pretty impressed with it. Like, she's 4 for 4 now. Mm. A few, just reading between the lines and a few reports, some people think it's not one of the strongest Blue Diamonds, you know, sectionally and time-wise, and will that form stack up in Sydney? I'm up in the air with that. I'd like to get Dino's opinion of, you know, considering the day and the times that they run, how she shapes up.
Okay.
Yeah, well, they didn't go as hard as maybe I thought they would early, but that's the interesting dilemma with two-year-olds going forward to a Golden Slipper. I mean, it might mean that she's got more in the tank than she had, say, last year, where Extreme Choice and Flying Artie broke the clock, broke the rest of the field by 4 or 5 lengths, but then they were probably not at their best on Golden Slipper Day. So, you know, she might have had the ideal lead-up run, you know, just happened to be in a Group 1. I can understand she didn't get the overall figures of that race, but that's not her fault that the lead speed wasn't created.
Pariah was good, mate. Formality was good, Dina. Tulip, they all raced very, very well.
I suppose the Snowdens have a great hand here in knowing the depth of the form line where Pariah sits in the scheme of their two-year-old ranks, because then obviously they've got the the Sydney form as well. Formality was good. I think she's a real short course horse, but she ran well. Whereas Tulip, I mean, Tulip's an Oaks filly running fourth in a Blue Diamond. She's a really good filly, and in time. And if we're looking at, say, the size produce down here, a horse like Murahib, I thought ran well. He was always wide, and he toughed it out pretty well.
Glenn, can we get an update on the Golden Slipper? Obviously, the big, big firmer was Catchy, $26 into 11.
Yeah, well, so was Pariah TK out of that, but She Will Reign actually firmed, and it, you know, it just
set me back
a little bit when I had a look at it on Saturday. Well, I'd say they looked at the Sydney horses. The only horses that firmed basically during the day were the two that ran in the Blue Diamond. So they've looked at those, a lot of two-year-olds that ran in the Sydney, the two Sydney races, Diamond Tathagata winning one of them. Well, it might have been 100-1 to 50-1 or something like that. Basically now, because it's in the slipper field more than anything else, so it had to tighten up. But they evidently weren't impressed with a lot of two-year-olds that went around in Sydney. It actually ruled out many of them going on towards the slipper. So they tightened She Will Reign up. I know liability-wise, they've probably got a turn in as well. But it's the 280 favourite now, in from 3 on Saturday. Hootson, who worked between races at Doomben on Saturday and will run this Saturday if it doesn't rain in Brisbane. And if it is raining, it'll more than likely come to the Black Opal on Sunday. It's an $8 chance. Minari, who was scratched, of course, as an odds-on chance. And that's how we got the opportunity to line up Minari and Pariah on Saturday if they both raced off their runs at Rose Hill, where a lot of people consider, well, Minari was unlucky, but whether or not Pariah was a fluke. Well, he's gone on since then to prove it wasn't a fluke with his two runs in Melbourne. So he's an $8 chance, Minari. I don't know whether he is trialling this morning at Rose Hill. We've got Catchy and Pariah, 11 each of two. They're both firmers there. Chauffeur, who worked between races at Rose Hill last Wednesday, is at 15. Trekking, trialled recently at Warwick Farm at 15. Vera Nillo's a $15 chance. And then you get out to the $26 line where there's a whole heap of them.
Right.
I think the slipper, the guide is going to be this next week. The Saturday is no guide to the slipper as far as the Sydney form is concerned. I can understand that, what we were working with a wet track, and we had the scratching of Minari, who was the name on everyone's lips. So most of these horses will be running in the, even though we're probably looking towards a wet track again, I think we're going to get a lot better guide with the Riesling, it's going to be a hot race where we see She Will Reign again, and probably From Within, who trialled brilliantly since failing at the Gold Coast, and obviously the Todman's going to be stacked, and the Black Opal, they're going to be stacked full of those horses with that two-week lead-in. So I think that's the form as far as Sydney form is concerned for the Golden Slipper.
And tell you what, the old Black Opal's making a resurgence, Duff. It could be an absolute crackerjack trial. It could be like, there's a significant race in the build-up to the Slipper, and it's quite some time before we've been able to really say that.
Yeah, for sure. It's everyone's talking about we're going to nominate for the Black Opal. You're going to, with the forgotten horse, maybe this Condor Heroes Gerald's, who's obviously had a setback. He's a trial brilliantly a while ago now, and he was the pre-season, fast horse there. And obviously Gerald Strong with Minari as well, and even David's maybe having something at the to line up those Melbourne horses for the Black Opal.
Yeah, Murakib's the one.
That's the one. This is this David Hayes horse. We're still trying to get David Dino, but this is the one. It won on a Friday night at Moonee Valley, wasn't it?
Yep, last Friday week.
Yep. And we're expecting to see that in the Black Opal.
Black Opal, yeah. He's number 37 at the moment in order of entry. But, he goes to the Black Opal, and he's exciting.
He's a $26 chance, Glenn, and I could tell by you sound a little bit keen here, Dino.
I just think that the timing of his preparation hasn't been obviously aimed at anything else but the slipper, and he was impressive pre-race in trials. He presented well in the yard, and then he was quite spectacular late in the race at Moonee Valley.
You got a good watch there, Glenn. $26.
Well, the other thing is you talked about, Dino said Peter Snowden had a good handle on the Sydney form of the two-year-olds. Well, no one's got a better handle on the two-year-old form than David Hayes. I don't think anyone's trained more two-year-old winners in a season that David Hayes has trained at the moment. And it's interesting that this horse, he said for the last 10 days, next start Black Opal, next start Black Opal. So there was evidently a plan of where this horse was going en route to the slipper.
Yeah, and you mentioned that this is going to be significant with the Riesling. We'll see She Will Reign, Ronnie, and also the Todman this weekend, and they're going to be on rain-affected tracks as well. So you're going to have to try and line up that form and wonder what sort of track we're going to get for Golden Slipper Day as well.
Exactly. Exciting time of year, and it looks an even slipper, and all revolves around, probably all eyes are on the favourite, who looks rock bottom odds at $2.80 until after she performs at 1200 on Saturday. If she gets through there, well, just stamp it off at 280.
And Utzon, the fact that Utzon doesn't come to Sydney to have a run and instead actually stays at Eagle Farm or race up there, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, she's she's freshened up after a Magic Millions, and obviously he wants to peak her up again, Toby, and he probably just wants a soft qualifying run to have her at her peak for the slipper. So I think obviously with that prize money not available as far as qualification is concerned from the Magic Millions, he's got to win. If she doesn't win, well, she doesn't come. It's as simple as that. So he's got to find an option.
She's 18th in order of entry at the moment. The two most interesting runners are actually the second favourites. In the order of entry, Minari is 17th at the moment in the slipper. Hootson is 18th in the slipper, and there is at least two horses that have to go ahead of them, right, which are the winners of the two-year-old races this week.
Yep, that, if they choose to run, which you which you normally do, don't you?
Yeah.
It means you're in form.
Well, the only horse not nominated at the moment is One More Honey, who's exempt after winning on Saturday.
Diamond Tathagata, good training performance this one by Mark Newman. Good to see him having such success. Just a wet tracker, any sort of a threat will go straight into the slipper, Ronnie.
Look, a hard horse to read because he had that She-Will Rain form, although she destroyed him at a first start in the Inglis nursery, I think it was, and then first up there on Saturday. Look, he just looks a tough horse. I think he's more of a miler in the making.
Right.
But if we get a slugging wet track golden slipper, anything can happen. But Mark's done an incredible job so early in his training career, building up numbers and getting winners at the moment. And he's just think he's got a slipper horse, a derby horse, so soon in his training career is a feather in his cap.
Ronnie, that track on Saturday, it started as a soft 7, it went to a heavy 8, then to a then to a 9, and then to a 10. But it's as wet as you get, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say it's as wet as you get. It's got a lovely cover of grass on it, but it was tough going.
Yeah.
And personally, I think it was up the inside and was no go out wide, so, which is strange for Randwick. Usually when it gets wet on the normal rail, everyone heads to, 7 or 8 off the fence. So, maybe.
Didn't there used to be, remember, they used to keep the blinkers on or keep the sprinklers on or something on the inside track, and that would cause the problem on the inside rail of the course proper?
Yeah. Maybe there's some, that may have been right considering what's happened since they've ripped the inside track up, but no issues really. It was a wet track, but a good safe surface.
Okay, terrific. Look, he's had a very, very busy weekend, but a very successful weekend. I'm sure a busy Monday as well. So we just wanted to say congratulations on such a spectacular performance on Saturday from the Hayes Dabernick stable. And David joins us on the line. G'day, David.
Good morning.
Yeah, well done, mate. What a great day.
Yeah, it was a fantastic day. And got to get 3 winners on that big day at Quinella and competitive in that diamond right through. It was a relief.
Maybe your most prominent day because your dad always had great success on that day as well.
Yeah, it wasn't quite Derby Day, but it was pretty good. on those big days to have your horses peppering the goals all day is terrific.
Yeah, group one doubles always good, mate.
Yeah, very good, very good. And this season, interestingly, In the $1 million group runs, we've run second 5 times without winning. And at the 300, I leant to my wife and said, I won't say exactly what I said, but another second. Not put as nicely as that. And then thankfully, because I was watching Formality and Tulip, and I didn't think they could catch the eventual second horse, but then Catchy was just joining the party. So I thought she'd get there with 100 to go, but at 300 to go, I didn't think we were a chance.
David, it's a race now you're developing into your own, the Blue Diamond.
Mm.
Half a dozen runners on Saturday, you managed to have the winner, but just to get that many starters, and your two-year-old season this season has to be one of your best.
At the moment, it's trending towards that vintage year of this Finland and Nadine when they quinellaed the Blue Diamond, and then we went up for the slipper, won the slipper, and then trifected the size, so that was a good year, but I think this one's right up there with it.
David, how many two-year-olds are you thinking of bringing to Sydney?
The horse Murahib, who ran well in the Diamond, I'm going to set him for the Value/Size or Fernhill.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he'd be a nice horse for that. Tulip's going for the race the week before the slipper, going for the black type, and then we'll make a decision whether she goes for the size. Obviously Catchy. And there's a nice horse that's been entered in that won at Moonee Valley by Snitzel. Sounds Murakeb. He may run 2 weeks before the slipper at Rose Hill or the Black Opal. Probably enter them both.
Mm. There were big things and great reports regarding that victory at Moonee Valley on that Friday night for Murakeb. Will measure up to something like a slipper, you think?
I always like it when your two-year-old runs at debut and runs the best sectionals of the night.
Right.
I think that's a good sign that you can go up in class. You know, when you don't run, when you win the two-year-old and they're just average sectionals, I always worry about going up in class. The other horse we have in the stable I've completely overlooked, should win on Saturday, is Madanatri. Pretty spectacular fast filly that we're teaching to relax and run on. I think she'll come and she'll win Saturday and be a real factor in the slipper. Houston gave her a toweling, but I don't think we had a ride at that stage. She's taken a huge step in the last 3 weeks.
David, I think that's the ninth different pronunciation we've had for that horse, and it's only had four runs.
My Arabic is about
improving.
4 out of 10, and she's a very tricky one. I'm better with the Q's, but when it goes to T's in their name, I really struggle in Arabic.
Could you just give it to us again, your best effort at getting its name out for us?
Madanatri.
Medinity.
Medinity. That actually sounds very Arabic. I'd go for that one. I'd go that way.
All right. It's the same horse, though. We've got to keep an eye.
It's Excel filly, all right?
Yeah.
That one in box number 8.
good fast filly.
David, can we take you to the Oakley Plate as well? Shidell, Joe Moreira, horses run for him, obviously. Does it go to the Goodwood now?
She's going for the Newmarket and then the Robert Sangster, $1 million, and the Goodwood. Okay. So she's got a terrific little preparation. And a funny thing, that young Ben Allen on the Nakoni horse, Fatnar, looked like he had the race shot to pieces. He said, I cruised up, I was quickening, and Moreira he did something, and the horse lifted.
Yeah.
So certainly there's something Moreira does, and it's a bit special. I haven't seen it with many jockeys, and he's just broken every record wherever he rides. Yeah. So he's a very special rider, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's terrific, and he's a good bloke to boot, which is even better.
Mate, nice fella.
Yeah, Fatinar, you're still a chance of going to Dubai?
Yeah, he got an invite on Saturday night.
Okay.
We're not going to run him again, and we're going to keep him fresh for Dubai. Obviously owned by Sheikh Hamdan. Nice to have Australian squidders could work well there.
Yes.
After Dubai, he'll race in Hong Kong. So he's going to have two runs. So we're going to avoid the temptation of the Newmarket and the obviously TJ, which I think he's sort of, he would run a place in them, but I wouldn't know if he's confident winning. I'd rather travel him.
Okay. Anything else, panel, for David before we let him go?
As far as your older horses, David, anything for the Sydney Carnival as far as, just, you know, three-year-olds and over?
Al Moonquist's heading for the BMW. He ran last, but it was a bloody good last on Saturday. I was happy with the run. Three-year-olds coming up, the Sea Burge heading towards the Rosehill Guineas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a filly called Furyk who got scratched on Saturday. I galloped her this morning. I think she's very, very good. I may accept her in the Guineas.
Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much, David. Just wanted to say well done, keep it going, and congrats to everybody in the stable.
Thanks a lot. Nice to be on the show.
There he goes. David Hayes. What a day out, Duff. That's a good day out, isn't it?
It's like the old days. He's very dominant at the moment. He's got numbers. They're all racing well, and good luck to them. They've built that new farm up. It's taken a while, but they're starting to reap the rewards.
Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffacy and Glenn Munsey, they're all ears for our callers. We've got plenty, so we'll get through them as quickly as we possibly can. Hi, Tony. Good morning.
G'day, Terry. G'day, boys. Listen, can I speak to Glenn, please?
Yes, double A.
And I would appreciate... you know me, don't you?
Oh, yeah, mate, you have a very distinctive voice.
Mate, I listen to you quite a lot, Glenn, and you made a comment on Saturday. In the words of the great race caller Bert Bright, he described her as a beautiful little queen. And you said, I wouldn't put her in the same sentence as Winx. You know who I'm talking about? She's a Hall of Famer, Racehorse of the Year.
I know.
The only 3-year-old filly to
Surround.
Win.
Surround.
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 I think you're a bit harsh, mate.
I mentioned Surround in the sentence, and I said I shouldn't have mentioned Surround and Winx together. It wasn't the fact I was belittling Surround.
No, that's
what I used the word Surround in the same sentence as Winx.
Well, you take that as comparing them and saying she wouldn't. Anyway, I don't want to be pedantic, but...
No, I heard you say that, Glenn, actually, on Saturday, and I thought it was a bit harsh.
Yeah, but I corrected myself by saying I shouldn't have used the word surround in the sentence. It sounded as though I was comparing them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, that's, I'll
it was
that.
A slip of the tongue using the word surround rather than comparing surround with Winks.
9:36 on the, what date is it? Glenn conceding that he was. Hey,
Tony.
Listen, Ronnie.
Tony, don't worry.
27.
You had him in the choker hold. You did a good job.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I'm, as I said, I don't want to be pedantic, but surround. When Bert Bryant says a beautiful little queen, and she was.
Yeah. No, but you're right. Well done. I did hear that. It's funny the things you little pick up on. You've got to be careful what you say. People are very quick to jump on you. Thank you, Tony, for your call, 1353.
We might have to throw another one in the mix for the Black Opal here, boys. Kieran Maher said on radio this morning, I'll get the stewards down to see him gallop. He's talking about Jukebox, and hopefully go to the Black Opal or the Todman.
It's going to be a good race, the Black Opal.
Mm.
Fantastic, which is always good. Let's get up to line number one and say good morning to Cameron. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, Tony, how you going, mate?
Well, thanks, bud.
Yeah, mate, is Endless Drama still on target for the Doncaster?
I'd say he would be. You know, he's ticking along with a couple of runs back there. It was a wet track on Saturday. I'd say it'd be full steam ahead. Whether, I don't know if Chris has ticked off that he's definitely running in that race. He's got other options as well, but I would say that'd be a lovely race for him.
Yeah, does it top the 52 kilos as well?
Sorry, I missed that, Cameron.
It's got the 52.
Yeah. Does it go to 52 kilos?
I'm not sure. I haven't got the weights in front of me.
All right. Well, so keep an eye on that. Hiraki currently the $8 favourite in a very wide market for the Doncaster. Chautauqua, we're going to see in action, I think, this weekend. $11. La Romaine, $11. Mercury, what spectacular comeback by Mercury on the weekend, $11. And tell us about Ome Swords, also an $11 chance. Duff was pretty impressive on an unsuitable sort of a track.
Oh, look, she's outstanding. She's an outstanding filly. Obviously, it's been well documented. She had a setback with that muscle problem, and she missed 2 weeks of galloping. She resumed on a heavy track at 1400. I thought she went to the wrong part of the track. She should have stayed behind the winner, and I think she would have won.
Oh, really?
I think it's as simple as that.
La Bella Diosa certainly went to the right side of the track, and a Kiwi on a wet track, which was well backed in the market as well.
Yeah, she was good. She was very good. South Island filly, and. Look, I looked at a trial coming into Australia, and I thought she wouldn't keep up there. But she travelled midfield, and although she may have got some favours, that wasn't her target race. So, considering that she wins it, it's full steam ahead. She's a type of filly that might just thrive in Australia at this time of year.
Yeah. Mm.
Endless Drama's got 52 kilos definitely in the Doncaster, and while you speak of Oh My Sword, she's got 49 in the Doncaster. Is she a Doncaster or is she an Oaks filly?
I think she's a Doncaster filly.
Mm. Yeah.
I think whatever he runs in, one runs her in, she's going to be hard to beat. I think she's that good.
Harder to win a Doncaster than an Oaks, isn't it, Ronnie?
Yeah, but, look, is he going to step her up that quickly to
that
distance?
That's right.
You know, after a setback. It's not his style.
Mm.
But it'd be a good question for Chris next time. You know, what is he targeting with a filly like her? She's an absolute beauty.
Let's get back to the open line. We've got plenty of callers. Dean Lester's also ready to answer all your queries regarding another good day of tipping last Saturday in Melbourne. Hi, Bob.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate.
I've got a couple of things. Firstly, I can't work out how Chris Waller could have scratched Winks on Saturday, given that the horse has got heavy track form.
Yes, she had a little bit of heavy track form as a three-year-old. In later life, I can't remember having too many runs on heavy tracks. And you're looking with these track changes now. I think you're allowed to scratch.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And the second thing is to enhance the country championships. And you said you for country jockeys to be engaged.
Yeah, we've gone through that. They got that choice. Bob, they don't have to. So if you... I don't want to be rude to anybody, but say you had Hoof Lundun, who was your jockey way out west somewhere and you won it, and then Huey Bowman rings you and says, I'd like to have that ride in the country championship, and you get a crack at $400,000, Bob, what are you going to do?
Well, we're giving country trainers a chance of that.
Yeah.
So why not give country jockeys a chance?
What would you do?
Mate, I would stick with my jockey, but maybe I'm a loyal person. these guys get cannibalised every time there's a big carnival. The Sydney jockeys go and cannibalise their rides. All of a sudden they're putting on Sydney jockeys. These guys are doing pretty well for themselves. I think one race a year.
Yeah.
To restrict it to country jockeys would not be that bad.
Well, if that was the, I would have no truck with that if that was the rule. But if I'm an owner with one crack at 400,000 prize money, I'm probably going to go with the bloke like a Hugh Bowman.
It's the country trainers and owners' decision. If they want to put their country right, it comes back on them.
Like our man last Monday, he's sticking with his country jockey.
Yeah, Jake Pracey-Holmes will ride the horse that that won at Dubbo. But you even look at yesterday at Taree. The placings were ridden by Andrew Atkins, who rides the horse normally anyway, yep. Cogliere, Corey Brown, who Shotgun Roulette, and Glenn Schofield, even though it didn't qualify ever so naturally, become a reserve now, I think. Glenn Schofield rode it. So, they brought the Sydney jockeys to their hometown, basically, to ride the horse to qualify.
I think that's the answer.
Mm.
As long as they've ridden in the series, they can be eligible to ride. Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that. It helps country racing getting the big jockeys out there for turnover. Let the city jockeys get off the backside, I won't say get off their backside because they're working hard with barrier trials and racing every day these days.
They're getting paid.
Yeah, good. Yeah, but look, if they want to qualify themselves for the final, make them go out and ride in a couple of heats.
I don't mind that.
Yeah,
sounds good.
I don't mind that. I think we can massage. I think it's been fantastic, hasn't it? The country championships, even more so than the provincial championships.
Well, Jim Byrne rode Perfect Dare for Matty Dunn at Grafton, and he's more than likely going to stick with it.
Yeah. Hmm. Don't worry. The city jockeys will travel to the country, Ronnie, if they know the horse has got ability and a chance of winning the $400,000 race come the championships.
And the heats are worth $150.
That's exactly right. So it was good to see, and I think it's a huge attraction for a country race meeting to get the city jockeys there. And I think we can tell that through turnover as well, Glenn, can't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, a very big test this Sunday, TK, because we've got basically a clash on Sunday. We've got the country qualifier at Scone, but we've got Black Opal Day got black type racing. So I don't think we're going to get we're going to get very, very few Sydney jockeys riding at Scone on Sunday. Yeah. They are going to prefer to go to Canberra, because the city stables are going to have more runners at Canberra than they're going to have at Scone, because the city stables can't have a runner in the country championship qualifier.
No, that's exactly.
But they've got you've got the Guineas, you've got the Tab Canberra Cup actually too, the Black Opal, and the National Sprint or whatever, if they're the races that they still run there. But they're worth a lot more than the Class Fives and the Class Twos at Scone.
No, it's developing into a really good meeting, the Black Opal in Canberra. Hi, Dave. Good morning.
G'day, TK. How are you, men?
Never better.
G'day, Dave.
G'day, mate.
Listen, I was a bit concerned about Hartnell, and we haven't heard much other than...
No.
It finished eighth,
I agree.
Well, I think out of the entire day, Dino, it was probably the... Hopefully there's nothing wrong with the horse, or...
Well, obviously it was the day that the conditions were supposed to suit him.
Well backed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you surprised he settled in front of Winks in the run, Ron?
Yeah, I was, to a certain extent. I have to put him down as the flop of the day as well. He was the one everyone was worried about when we got to that heavy nine, because he'd performed on a heavy nine at Randwick in the past, second up, remember last preparation, bolting in. So I think John seems to think that he needs longer between runs, and he made a mistake.
His explanation in the stewards' report.
That's his explanation.
Mm. Okay. And how did we miss La Bella Diosa, Duff?
Yeah, look, she was pretty good, wasn't she, at 1,400 metres. She snuck under the radar there, but she won't be sneaking under the radar again, that's for sure.
Yep.
What about the United States, Dino?
I thought he went really well. He just probably needed that run. He looked good in the yard, but I think he just needed the run. Good chance he'd beat those horses Australian Cup Day.
All right.
All right, thanks, boys.
Okay. He's not... Is he a length behind the real good horses?
Oh, he is, but he still won. Like, he won a Rambet and he beat Haraki, so I reckon that sums him up.
You know, like, I like him. I'm solid with him.
Yeah,
but, I just don't know whether he's a length...
That group that ran on Saturday and the Peter Young, there's not a lot between them.
Yeah.
Jamaica had a hard run, but she bounces off them fine, so she's a good chance. Humidor... I'd love him to swing a gear change on it.
Doesn't go straight, does he?
He just got to, yeah, he'll be better at Flemington.
Blinkers?
Yeah, he wouldn't go blinkers. It might rev him up too much, but the horse came over with earmuffs and cross nose bands and all sorts when he came from New Zealand, and he's taken them all off. If he can just find the right mixture for that horse, he could probably beat them.
Okay. Well, because United States had a nice run.
Oh, he had a beautiful run, but he was the one that was first up. The others had had a bit of racing.
Yeah, it makes a difference. So take just natural improvement from that. What line, John, are we going to go to? Line 6, Pete. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Believe it or not, I've just had to run out to the car to put the window up. I'm in Sawtell near Coffs, and we've got quite a large black cloud coming over us.
I love Sawtell. It's beautiful.
Beautiful place.
Mm.
Boys, I ring up to give Navesh Ramdani a wrap.
Okay.
About 6 months ago, I drove the coach to the southern end of the Randwick track, and I had about 3 hours to kill. And I just pulled up there wanting to watch a bit of track work. And he came over to me and suggested we go around to the eastern end of Randwick and watch the barrier trial that took place. And Navesh quartered me across to the inner track. And, you know, I spoke to several jockeys, Huey and Gary Patelli and some other people, and I had an absolute fantastic morning with him.
Good.
I'm an ex-greenkeeper, and he looked after me no end. And I believe sometimes, obviously, every morning when you're doing your form, that he actually brings you coffee and breakfast. Is that true?
He's a good man.
Yeah, he does.
Good man.
When we do the live broadcast from Randwick, as we will do for the championships, Navesh and Lindsay get down. They actually travel out, well, it's not a long way away, but down to Anzac Parade to a shop there and bring us back some food and coffee.
Contra?
And everything. No. They just do it out of the graciousness of their heart, TK. And, you know, there are still some people in the world, unlike you, TK.
They must have a sponsor somewhere.
Or an expense account.
Yeah. He's got a great demeanour, Navesh. Yeah. He's unflappable. He's nature's gentleman.
Yeah.
You, even if you bag his track, he stays cool, calm and collected. And
I'm surprised he talks to you at all, Duff.
So am I. I'm actually shocked.
That's how good a bloke he is.
Yeah, he just goes to show he's not picky.
Well, he's either deaf, right, or he's just too good a bloke. Good on you, Pete. Well done. Navesh, the boys. They do a good job under very, very difficult circumstances.
Now, TK, in Chris Roots' column in the Sydney Morning Herald this morning, a quote from John O'Shea regarding Hartnell: his best races are when he gets cover. For some reason, when he's in the breeze, he runs his worst races.
Yeah, I know, but he was really bad, Glenn.
Yeah, the short backup didn't help as well, and I think we'll see a difference in 3 weeks' time. So,
you know, like that, I sort of take those excuses when a horse runs maybe not up to its best, but he was poor.
Anyway, he was, yeah.
He was poor.
You know, like
poor.
Really poor.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Glenn, just on with the weather, obviously, weather forecast, has there been, get Larry out there, has there been any action on that, anything that untoward in that Australian Guineas, like you're coming through, is there any of these horses that look like they're staying in Sydney, but is there any money for them to suggest that they may switch tack with a wet track there?
Well, there's $5 invested on it today, Ron. I don't think that constitute a significant plunge at any stretch there. But I know Ben's wrote last night on Twitter in one of his 4,000 tweets he put out on a Sunday night that Joe Moreira was going to ride coming through, because Michael Walker's at the doctors this week, you know, trying to get his back in order, and he said that was one of Joe's rides on Saturday. But there'd been nothing sort of happening there, even in the Guineas, you know, in that Guineas race, sorry, I should say. You know, there's $812 invested so far today, $169 on Hey Doc. Mate, there's $560 invested on Furyk, though, after what David Hay said earlier. And also in the Slipper, so far this morning, Catchy has had $936 on it.
Right, it pulled up, has pulled up well, licked its bit out on returning from the races. So that's all good news there for Catchy. La Bella Diosa, I've got to say, I'll wrap you guys on Saturday. We had a caller earlier said how to get down to the guard. Well, I think if you were listening to the coverage on Thoroughbred, there was no doubt that everyone was well aware that that horse had been specced in the market, was a Kiwi to keep an eye on. So plenty of people would have got the $13 and then starting at $9 as well. Let's go to Gary. Hi, Gary. Hello, Gary.
Yeah, how you going?
Hey, good, buddy.
Mate, I was hoping, I just heard Dino's comments earlier in regard to Humidor. I was hoping he'd give me a nice warm blanket feel about Humidor's chances, but he seems to be doubtful.
Oh, I'm not doubtful. I just want him to do everything right one day, and we haven't seen it yet. And we had Darren Weir on Melbourne Radio yesterday, and he's still reluctant to change much of the gear. He just thinks that the horses, he's just working through it, and he's stepping up in distance, and he'll get to Flemington, and it'll all be okay. And he's a massive chance of winning the Australian Cup, but he's one of probably four or five that could win it.
I noticed you did say on Saturday morning, Dino, when you were talking about that, you said Flemington, that seems to be where you want to be on him.
Well, I think he ran 11th in the Cantala in the spring. He may well have won it, and that wasn't of his doing. He just ran into a dead end. So he just looked a better, a better galloper at Flemington on the one exposure we've seen.
Yeah, plus the horse that beat him on the weekend, Stratum Star, is simply just a winner.
Gee, I reckon he'll hold a record for a while to win a Group 1 in Perth, win at the Magic Millions on the Gold Coast, and then win at Caulfield in three starts.
That just a winner.
Takes a bit of beating.
While we're on, Darren Weir.
And just on that, sorry, one of those horses, too, that just keeps starting a better price all the time.
Yeah.
For winning. You know, there aren't that many of them.
While we're on, Darren Weir, Dino, where does this horse, I know he's an older horse, but I'm very wary of him, Tosin Stardom.
Two good runs.
As far as
Way underdone on Saturday.
Yeah.
Look, had good muscle tone, but carrying plenty of condition as opposed to when we saw him in the spring. We only saw him once, but he was ready to go when you see him now. He'll either run in the Blamey here in 2 weeks or you'll see him up there. He's going to, unfortunately, he's probably going to have to run into Winx towards the Queen Elizabeth, but he's going very well.
Okay. Mm. All right. I don't know what your boys are like regarding rugby league, Dino. Even you can join this one, the Sky Sports Radio NRL tipping comp. It's a trip to the Hong Kong International in December. Or, Dino, I think you'd probably go there instead of the Melbourne Cup or the Cox Plate.
All right. Yeah, I've already got my tickets booked there.
But you make the choice, all right? So
Thank you. A
trip for two to the Hong Kong International, the Melbourne Cup or the Cox Plate. Simply go to our website, Big Sports Breakfast website. Click on Enter the Competition. Follow the link. Follow the prompts. And put your tips in every week. You just got to register. It's really simple. I can even do it.
Yep.
The Sky Sports Radio NRL Tipping Comp, adding even more excitement and bragging rights to your 2017 footy season. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen. Question for Dean. Yep. Last race in Melbourne on Saturday, Silence Editions race.
Yep.
The horse that ran last, Written Era, would have to have been a fabulous run.
She's very unlucky, Written Era. She probably could have won 2 weeks ago, and as you said, she ran last, and she met with interference mid-race, probably of her own doing mid-race, but in the straight, she was just inside heels enough that Damien Lane couldn't switch across them, and she just was untested.
Would she go to Warrnambool, or will she race before that?
Oh, no, she'll race. She'll race, probably run, I would say, in the Matron Stakes at Flemington in 2 weeks.
There you go, Michael. So keep following that one. The other one...
Just before you go.
Yeah, go, mate.
With Dean. Mm-hmm. The other thing, horse you'd remember Vegas Showgirls' background was Voodoo Rhythm. Mm-hmm. And he was a fabulous wet tracker in Melbourne in the, I think, about mid-80s.
Voodoo Rhythm was an imported stallion, but he'd never raced in Australia, Voodoo Rhythm.
Oh, I think you have a different horse called Voodoo then?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Was there an I'm a Voodoo or something like that?
Probably.
I just remember a wet tracker in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I thought it was Voodoo Rhythm, but
he was an imported stallion.
Name close to it.
Mm.
And I just happened to see that Voodoo Rhythm in the Vegas Showgirls background.
Right. Right.
And he was a Northern Dancer horse.
He was.
But that Written Era, you'd have to think that would be getting close to a good bet in, because that was Group 3 on Saturday, so.
She can get a clear run at them. She'll win a race pretty soon, yeah.
There you go. Well done. Thank you
so much for your
call. Thank you, Michael, for that. Just one, can I ask you, I'll put my 20 cents in, Dino.
Mm.
Hellbent, got a long way back. It wasn't a fast pace, but patina racing, is it going to cost me money if I follow?
Yeah, well, you're going to get that sort of run a lot now that he's at Group 1 level when he was Group 3. But ironically, when he won that 1100 at Caulfield and he caught our eye, he beat Scheidel that day. That was the horse he beat. But Saturday, yeah, you said about the speed. It wasn't slow. It wasn't fast. It was just perfect. The magic man there, they just rated those horses. And our young whiz kid down here, it was the magic man and the whiz going toe-to-toe with Ben Allen on Vardanar. Yeah. And they settled 1-2, rated perfectly, and ran the 1-2. And the big closers, extreme choice. I thought he ran really well. And Hellbent also.
Yeah, they were as good as each other, weren't they? Extreme choice and Hellbent.
Yeah, well, I'd say extreme choice better because he's a three-year-old with 2 kilos more. So he did a terrific job. I mean, everyone said, oh, he's only got 54. But when you looked at the older horses that had 52 and 50 and a horse like Scheidel who'd won 14 races with 53, he did a good job against the older horses.
Okay.
I think the key to that race was all that speed drawn all in those inside barriers that just took that bit of pressure out of the race, Dina.
Well, there was two scenarios there, Duff, that there were seven. The inside seven draws were the speed, and they'd try and sort each other out, but it was quickly evident that they went into two groups of three virtually. One missed the start, and they just didn't fight each other. So it was evident a fair way out. Those backmarkers had a fair bit to do.
All right, we need horses to follow, one to follow. I'll ask Duff first, mate. Have you got one?
The obvious is my sword for me. But look, just throw another one in that black opal mix. That filly that won at Rose Hill the other day, Glenn, Limbo Soul. Look, she looked pretty good.
It took a fortune out of their bank account.
Well, yes. It's not a grinder back a winner.
There's the bias that day was on speed. To the eye after the race, you think, wow, this is a slipper horse. But as the day went on, they were all leaders. So that maybe that takes a little bit of a gloss off. But I like what I saw from her.
Okay. So there's two horses to follow. Limbo Soul looks like going towards the Black Opal. So what about you, Glenn?
Well, it's hard to sort of pull one out of Saturday, you know, when the track was that bad. But I did see a very, very smart horse win in Brisbane on Saturday called Nickanova. It's only had the three starts. Steve Tregay at one of the Sunshine Coast run third the other day, and it absolutely trotted in on Saturday, but its last 100 metres was very, very good.
Dino?
I thought you'd had a heap of wet trackers for Sydney. It's going to be wet every Saturday.
Oh, there's no need to rub it in like that.
Sorry.
It's a very Melbourne thing.
Mm. We've got to hang our head on one thing. Smart as you think, out of race four is a good filly. She needs further, but ran well. And out of the Oakley Plate, don't drop off... Fell swoopy, knuckled badly at the start.
And got a decent cut on his leg too.
He's. I think he's going to be set for the Galaxy. He deserves a Group 1. He could bounce back next time.
Good on you, Dino. Always made a pleasure. Keep the good tipping up. You too, Duff, and also Glenn. Hope for your lose throughout the week.
Thanks, TK, for your kind words.
That's right. Well, we're winning if you're losing. That's what we want. Thank you very much. Bye, Glenn.
Bye, mate.